Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 46 in this series, entitled What to Do When You Can't Feel, Part 2, recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's wonderful to be here again and to resume relating the tale of two souls. As you all know, I'm sure, this week is a very auspicious week for this Wednesday. Chai Elul, the 18th day of Elul, is the birthday of the two great luminaries, the Baal Shem Tov, who was born on the 18th day of Elul in 1698, Shnas Nachas Tov Nun Ches, and the Alter Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the author of the Tanya, who was born the same day in the year Tov Kuf Hei, 1745. And this year we celebrate 300 years since the Baal Shem Tov's birthday. The Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe, the fact that they were born on one day is very significant, because the Baal Shem Tov was the founder of the Hasidic movement, and the Alter Rebbe developed the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov into a systematic, all-encompassing philosophy, synthesizing the rational and mystical streams of Torah thought into a unified, comprehensive program for life. Particularly in a seminal work, the Tanya, which we are presently studying. We're in the middle of Perek Tzayin, the 16th chapter, Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, or page 43, the line beginning with the words Shehi Hasagas V'Yidiyas HaTorah. Seven lines from the top. In the beginning of this chapter, the Alter Rebbe discussed the Klal Gadol, the important fundamental axiom which the Beinoni has to remember concerning his service and his work during his lifetime on the face of this earth, and that is that even if he does not possess the ability and the power to develop within his heart a palpable, conscious, emotional love towards Hashem, as he puts it, with a chasheka, with a chfeitza, with a tshuka, a love which is fiery, which is flamey, which is intense, which is passionate, even if he is incapable of experiencing such a type of relationship towards the Almighty, nevertheless, there is another type of relationship which every single Jew is capable of experiencing, and for the Beinoni, for the ordinary man, that is a very powerful, honest, and profound relationship. And this relationship he calls Ahava, which is misuteres b'moichei v'talum eslibay, a love that is hidden in his mind and in the recesses of his heart. Which basically means that there are times when the heart of the human being is on fire towards a specific thing, a human being, a creature, and so forth. And therefore, naturally, the human being gravitates to that person, to that thing. He's drawn to it as a result of this passion that exists within him. But sometimes, other times, it's very difficult, or maybe even impossible, to reach such an emotional state. However, even then, the person may, with his cognitive faculties, understand and know very clearly that the proper and appropriate thing is to do thus and thus. He doesn't have a powerful passion to do it. He doesn't have that bren, that fire that's drawing him to it. But he understands, he is aware very well, that it is appropriate, it is suitable, it is proper to do this and this thing. This is called an ahava mesuteres b'meichei v'talumais libay. Because it's not just an abstract intellectual truism. It's not just an awareness which is detached from reality. It is an intellectual awareness that generates a certain inclination, that generates a certain connection, a certain subjective relationship. It is an awareness that brings the human being to understand clearly that he should be doing this specific thing as a result of these reasons. True, there is a lack in the fiery inspiration behind the act, but nevertheless, the awareness is powerful enough that the act should indeed be implemented. By way of illustration, in everyday issues, sometimes your wife asks you to take out the garbage in the morning. Yeah. Not necessarily does the human being at that moment experience in his heart, feel in his heart, a powerful passion and love towards this human being, which as a result of that passion, he naturally is gravitating and running to take on the garbage because he wants to do so much what she wants. Because when you love someone in a real powerful way, you naturally want to do everything they want. It might be the most simple, minute thing. So sometimes a person could think that since I don't have a feeling towards it, I'm not in the mood of taking out the garbage, I won't do it. Because I am not connected to it. Obviously, that is not a healthy conclusion. Why? Intellectually, you understand that it's the proper thing for you to do. Is it morally proper for you to take out the garbage? There's no question about it. You know very well that your wife is exhausted, she was up all night because of the child was up all night and so forth, and although you're a very distinguished person and you're also a lazy person, it's the proper thing for you to take out the garbage. So you understand that or you don't? You understand it. So go ahead and do it. Although there's no powerful cheshek, desire and yearning in the heart towards it. A person wakes up in the morning, not necessarily is his heart on fire towards his wife and his children, that he's naturally gravitating to go to his job because he wants to support them. He wants to sustain them. He wants to give them livelihood. You love someone. You want to help them. And it's his responsibility. He not necessarily has that passion. So again, a person can decide, I don't feel for it. Why should I do it? Of course, a healthy person understands. You understand that this is the correct thing. You don't always have to have that emotion intellectually. It's intellectually, this is the appropriate thing to do. Go ahead and do it. And the same is true in various other issues, in our experiences and various circumstances that come up throughout the day. Sometimes it's more easier, sometimes more difficult. You wronged someone, and you understand that the proper thing to do is to call the person up and make up with them. Not necessarily you have a feeling towards it. You might not dread it, even if you don't. You might dread it, even if you don't dread it. You're not in the mood of it. You don't care for it. Intellectually, you understand it's the proper thing. Go ahead and do it. The power, the energy that is behind such an activity, the motivating force is called ahava mesuteres b'meichei v'talumais libay. It's not a conscious, burning love and passion, but it's not an abstract intellectual thought or equation. It's called an intellectual emotion. It is an intellectual inclination. It is a moral obligation that you sense in your mind and somewhat in your heart, although in a more hidden and inconspicuous way. So the Alter Rebbe says that the same is true concerning the foundation of a person's life, which is his spiritual, his mental, and his emotional life. A person may think, Bishleim, Mele, if I have in my heart a deep longing, yearning, desire, affection, and love towards Hashem, as a result of that, I have a yearning to the service of Hashem, then I'm going to go and serve Hashem. Then I'm ready to dedicate my life to this ideal, to this vision, to this reality, because I feel for it, I'm connected to it, I have a real relationship with it. But if a person cannot develop such a type of feeling, although his contemplation and meditation, he did not reach this state of experience where his heart is glowing with intense passion towards godliness and spirituality, he might feel, after everything said and done, I am disconnected from this whole reality, from this whole experience, from this whole world. It's not really true, and therefore there's no real purpose in me living a certain lifestyle, in me embracing this type of work, when I can't even have a real feeling towards it. So the Alter Rebbe comes in chapter 16 and says that this is a great mistake. This is a big toss, and a person should not make this error. Al pi seichel, do you understand that this is the proper thing for you to do? Intellectually, with your cognitive faculties and your cognition, do you comprehend that this is the appropriate way for you to behave in your day-to-day life? And this everyone is capable of doing. Because we might not always be masters of our heart, but we are masters of our mind. That is an axiom in the Alter Rebbe's philosophy, which he develops in the Tanya. So every person is always capable of contemplating and thinking and meditating about what he or she desires to think about. So can you understand that this is the proper way of life for you? That this is how you should behave generally? That this is how you should behave at this moment? Go ahead and act based upon that. Go ahead and do it. And Hashem will fill the void, as he will explain in the continuation of this chapter. And Alter Rebbe emphasized that this is a klal gadol ba'aveda l'beinanim. V'yeser al-kein tzarech leida klal gadol. It's not just a principle, it's not just a detail. It's a klal gadol, which means, as mentioned, a basic fundamental axiom and klal in the work of a Beinoni. And he doesn't emphasize this in vain, because I believe that this, the message of this Perek, is very powerful and fundamental, because we all know personally how distant we are, at least some of us, at very often, how distant and remote we are from a real feeling of Avas Hashem. How often do people lament about the fact that they don't feel for it? There is no experiential emotion within their heart. Their identity, their personality is not permeated with it. So you intellectually, I agree, I understand, but it's not me. Emotions are ultimately the identity of man. That's what you are about. That's what you feel. That's what you care for. So the Alter Rebbe comes and says, a klal gadol. Don't fall into that trap. Even if you are incapable of developing that type of emotion, you are capable. Everyone is capable of developing an ahava mesuteres b'meichi v'talum ha'slibay. Everyone is capable to think, to comprehend according to his individual capacity. And as a result of that, everyone is capable of experiencing maybe not an emotional emotion, but an intellectual emotion. An inclination which is relevant to him, to his behavior, to his life. Therefore, go ahead and act based on that awareness, based on that understanding, and Hashem will, as mentioned, fill the void. And Alter Rebbe elaborated on the nature of this somewhat dull or more silent emotional experience in the Beinoni, the Ava Mesoteris, which comes as a result of the meditation, and as usual in the Tanya, the contemplation here, the awareness which is required, that can bring to a certain lifestyle, although the passion is missing, the powerful passion is missing somewhat, as usual the contemplation is very, very intense, and it's very shattering, all-encompassing, and dealing with the deepest existential truisms in life. And now we'll continue in the text. Hine. Hine, consequently, Kishemai Migbeinyin Zah. When the Beinoni ponders this subject in the recesses of his heart's and mind's understanding, and his mouth and heart are in accord, which means what his heart understands finds full expression in his external life, in his speech. It's not just that the Beinoni relegates it to an intellectual awareness, and that's what's left from it. I understand it's the appropriate thing when he ponders this subject, and pivili beishavin, what he understands in his mind and his heart is implemented in his mouth. Shemekayim kein befiv kefiyash and nigmar betvunas libayomaychay, that he fulfills with his mouth in his speech the resolve of his mind's and heart's understanding, the hainu, namely, this means, li yais b'teiras Hashem cheftze, to direct his desire towards Hashem's teira, v'yehege ba yoimam v'layla b'fif, meditating and learning it day and night in oral study, v'chein hayadayim mushari varim, and the same is true concerning his hands and his other bodily organs, that mekayimim hamitzvus, they too carry out the commandments, kefi mashen nigmar b'tfunas libayimaychay, as was resolved in his mind's and heart's understanding. Harei, then, when he implements this resolution, when he implements this intellectual conclusion in his daily life, it actually dictates his behavior. It translates itself into his practical day-to-day life, both on an intellectual level, his learning, and on a physical, concrete level, his actions. Harei tvuna zu. So this tvuna. Tvuna is the name, as he will explain later, for the intellectual emotion. This tvuna mislabeshes and clothes itself. In the act, speech, and thought of the Torah and its commandments, li yislahem pchinas moichin, v'chayus v'gatvin l'parchala eila, providing them with intellectual power, vitality, and wings that enable them to soar on high. In the same way as if he would have practiced them with real awe and love as revealed in the heart, with a desire, v'chasheka, with fervor, utshuka murgeshes b'libay v'nafshay hatzmeyel Hashem, and a passion that is felt in the heart and soul, thirsting for Hashem, mipnei risvei eish ha'avasi shebelibay, due to the flaming love of Hashem in his heart, k'moishen is bayer leil, as explained above in the beginning of the chapter, that a revealed love of Hashem imbues the performance of the mitzvahs with a very powerful life, vitality and passion. So the Alter Rebbe says that this same achievement that occurs through a felt, passionate, intense affection is also achieved through this tvuna, through this more intellectual and somewhat abstract love. Hayil, because, the reason for this is, because of tvuna zu shebemeiche v'taluma is libay. This tvuna in his mind and in the hidden chambers of his heart, he hamiviyasi lasik behem. That is what leads him to engage in them in the Torah and the mitzvahs. V'lulei shahayim is bainim b'tvuna zu. Had he not meditated on this tvuna, lo yaya isik behem klal, he would have not have occupied himself with them at all. Ella rather, he would have occupied himself b'tzarchi gufi levat, with his physical needs alone. V'gamim u'masmid b'limud b'tivah, he adds in parentheses, even if he is an assiduous student by nature. So therefore, Torah study and his nature are very suitable with each other, for each other. He's naturally drawn to the study of Torah. Afal became, nevertheless, even this type of character, Ayev is gufa yaseh b'tivay, naturally loves his body more. And therefore, if not for this tvuna type of meditation, he wouldn't have preoccupied himself with Torah study and observance of mitzvahs, rather with the needs of his body. And since the tvuna is what provides, is what causes the person to live this life in a practical way, therefore the tvuna encloses itself in these deeds, words and thoughts, and becomes wings and vitality through which they can soar. It says in Zohar, in Tikkuni Zohar, in Tikkun Yud, that a reise below the chilu rechimu le parcha la'ela. Torah, which is studied without love and awe, cannot soar upwards. Or further on, in that very same Zohar, a few lines later, it says, a Torah mitzvah below the chilu rechimu le yechailas le salko le mekam kadam Hashem. Torah and mitzvahs that are studied and performed without the chilu and rechimu, without awe and love, the chilu is awe, rechimu is love, do not have the ability to ascend and stand in front of Hashem. And that is the reason why in Kabbalah, in the writings of the Ari, Ahava and Yira are called gatfin, wings. Because Ahava and Yira are to Torah and mitzvahs what wings are to a bird. Just as a bird cannot ascend, cannot soar, cannot fly without wings, the Torah and the mitzvahs cannot soar upwards, cannot fly, if they're lacking Ahava and Yira. The meaning of this, the Alter Rebbe explains more in detail later in Tanya, in chapters 39 and 40. Briefly, the point is as follows. Most mitzvahs are physical activities, whether it's putting on tefillin. Tefillin is a very physical object. And also the mitzvah of putting on tefillin is a physical activity. The same is true concerning tzitzis, mezuzah, challah, lulav, shofar, tzedakah, and so on and so forth. Most of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Both the substance with which we do the mitzvah is purely physical, and the manner through which we perform the mitzvah is also purely physical. Therefore, although the mitzvahs are the divine will, and via their performance, man connects himself, he embraces the king because he is actually implementing the divine will, he's connecting himself with that will, as discussed in chapter 4 in great length. Nevertheless, after everything said and done, the mitzvahs are physical. The mitzvahs are earthly objects, and their activities are earthy. What happens through a mitzvah? Basically, what happens is physical objects were moved from one space to another space. Physical objects were impacted in a materialistic way, whether through tzedakah, the money was moved from one domain to another domain, whether in challah, a piece of dough was moved from one domain to another domain, whether in lulav, certain branches and certain types of vegetations have been moved and transferred, a physical impact happened in them. As long as the physical energy of man is what is invested in the mitzvah, which means the physical energy of your hand shaking the lulav, or the physical energy of your mouth saying certain words, the mitzvah remains a physical object. But if there is a soul experience behind that activity, if there is a spiritual experience within man's consciousness behind that activity, it infuses the physical act with transcendence, with spirituality, and it elevates it. It becomes exalted. So as long as a man does a mitzvah without any kavana, without any avan yira, so his physicality is what is infusing the mitzvah, so the mitzvah remains bogged down in earthiness. Rather, when the person has avan yira within that act, so the love, the passion, and the awe, which are a spiritual, psychological, deep mental experience in man's consciousness, are what infusing the mitzvah. It's parcha le'ela. The mitzvahs soar upwards. They are elevated to a higher domain, to a more refined and elevated world. As the Alter Rebbe will discuss in chapter 40, there is a possibility that not only there is no kavanah in the mitzvah, there is, you perform the mitzvah as a result of your ego, as a result of your vanity, as a result of your selfishness. So then what happens, it's not just there's no spiritual energy in the mitzvah, there is negative energy infusing the mitzvah. The motivating force behind it, what is infusing it, is your ego, is your self-centeredness, is your animalistic perception of things, and so on and so forth. So then what happens is that holds down the mitzvah. Not only does it not elevate the mitzvah, it holds it down. The mitzvah becomes, so to speak, enslaved to the vanity of the universe. There's a negative energy infusing it. Ultimately, it can all be redeemed and elevated because you're dealing with divine will. And hu ratzayne yechad. But even if there's no ego, even if a person is not doing the mitzvah because he's doing it out of rote, he was trained to do it, but there's no passion, there's no zealousness, there's no intensity, it remains down here. And as a result of that, the human being also remains down here. The mitzvah also doesn't affect something in the human being. He can do and do. He remains as he is. He hasn't been refined. He hasn't been elevated. The mitzvah remains physical and he remains physical. Av and yira are the wings that allow the mitzvah to soar, and as a result of that, the human being also to soar. The Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, after he was liberated from a second imprisonment in Tsarist Russia in the year 1800, as a result of the slanderous accusations that the adversaries and fierce opponents of Hasidism presented to the Tsar and to the Russian government. So the Alter Rebbe was imprisoned twice. One was in 1798, and the second time was in 1800. Both in the capital at that time, St. Petersburg. After his second liberation, the Alter Rebbe traveled to the greatest Lithuanian Torah scholars of the time, who were the leading opposers of the Hasidim and the, relatively speaking, new Hasidic movement. And the Alter Rebbe engaged them in conversation, in discussion. And the stories that are connected with those visits are very powerful and beautiful stories. One of the people who the Alter Rebbe visited was a man named Rabbi Yehoshua Zeitlin. Rabbi Yehoshua Zeitlin was considered one of the greatest Gaonim, Torah sages in Eastern Europe. He was a student of the Shagas Aryeh, a Talmud Muvak of the Shagas Aryeh. And he was what they called then a Misnagid, and he was from the biggest leading Misnagdim who totally opposed Chassidim and Chassidus. So Rabbi Yehoshua Zeitlin was a sharp person, and he didn't respect too many people. certainly the Alter Rebbe, who was one of the leaders of the Kat, of the cult, as they were called then, certainly he didn't respect. So when the Alter Rebbe came, he acted in somewhat of an abusive manner, and he began throwing questions. Because one of the accusations, the chief accusations against Chassidim, was their lack of preoccupation with Torah study, that Torah is insignificant, really. In the ultimate scheme of things, Torah has been relegated to an inferior domain relative to Kavanah, to passion, to prayer. It's interesting, I was learning Tanya with someone in Yerushalayim, and he pointed this out to me, that Kemat every time in these chapters, all these chapters with Alter Rebbe, is discussing how the Beinoni doesn't succumb to his animalistic, impulsive desires, and always, always engages in the divine will for that moment. So he's saying, Isur Mirava Sei Tov in every mitzvah. The Alter Rebbe always says, Afilu Isur Kalshul Div Rezei for him. And Bein Basur Mirava, Bein Basur Sei Tov. The Talmud Torah Kenegat Kulam. That every moment he studies Torah. The Alter Rebbe always emphasizes that. So as a result of this accusation against them, they wanted to see right away if the Alter Rebbe has a real relationship with Torah. Or Torah is insignificant. It's about passion. It's about love. Now, of course, the Alter Rebbe was one of the most extraordinary minds, halachic, Talmudic minds in his generation. So, be sure, Seitlin began throwing all these questions on him, and Alter Rebbe was answering one by one. He was very impressed. Finally, he says, "What is this that by you people they say that if Torah is studied not lishma, or mitzvahs are performed without passion, they don't ascend upwards. They remain down here in this world. What is the source of it?" Rabbi Shot Seidlin saw it in Tanya, because Tanya was printed already. Tanya was printed in 1796. Tavkuf Nun Zayin. So he saw it in the Tanya. He says, "What is the source for this?" So the Alter Rebbe says, "It says in Zayar. Tikune Zayar Tikin Yudit. A Reise Beloy de Chilu Rechim Alei Parcha Leila." Rabbi Yeshua says, "We know that we don't paskin from the Zayar. We do not articulate halachic verdicts based on Kabbalah. Halacha is based primarily on Chelek HaNiglan, the revealed dimension of Torah and Gemara and Paskin." So the Alter Rebbe says, "It's a Befedesh Gemara." Now, by Rabbi Shua Tzeitlin, Shas was like, well, you're like the five fingers are by you. So he sits down, and the Shas starts going roaming through his mind. He's thinking. No such a Gemara. The Alter Rebbe says it's a befeidish Gemara. You don't want to pass him from the Zayir. It says in Gemara. He's thinking, you know. The Alter Rebbe says there's a Gemara in Psachim Dafnunam at base. The Gemara says as follows. Rave Rami. Rave asked the question. Ksiv, one pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Tehillim Nun Zayin, Ki Gadol Ad Shamayim Chazdecha. Another pasuk in Tehillim Uksiv, Tehillim Kuf Chesed says, Ki Gadol Me Al Shamayim Chazdech. That it's Gadol beyond Shamayim. HaKeitzad Rava says, Kan Ba'isim L'Shma, V'Kan Ba'isim Shalei L'Shma. One pasuk is referring to human beings who are engaged in Torah mitzvahs L'Shma, for the sake of Hashem. And the other is people who are engaged not lishma. So what is the Gemara saying? If it's lishma, it's me'al shamayim. And if it's shalei lishma, it's at shamayim. Which means, in other words, that the lishma, and lishma of course means there is passion involved, you're not just doing it robotically, creates the ability that the Torah mitzvah should go beyond heaven. Should go beyond the parameters of the physical world versus with shalei lishma. Rabbi Shua Tzeitlin was amazed from it, and he sent away the Alter Rebbe with immense, immense respect, immense covet. God, the Baal Shem Tov, they say that the Baal Shem Tov once came to a city, and they invited him to come into the shul. The Baal Shem Tov refused to go into shul. He said, "Why?" He says, "I can't walk in. The shul is filled with Torah and prayer. I can't walk in." So later they asked the Baal Shem Tov, "What do you mean?" He says that it's such a type of shul where the Torah and the prayers never ascend. So they all remain in the shul, in the chamber of the shul. He can't walk in. Because and what the Hashem Tov meant in more practical terms is that a shul was such a type of shul where the Torah that was learned and the davening that was prayed totally lacked any godliness, any spirituality. It was totally infused with ego and self-centeredness and self-gratification and self-enhancement and so on and so forth. He just couldn't walk in. So this is the idea of mitzvahs, so to speak, requiring wings so that they should be able to soar upwards. Now, l'cha'ira, apparently, it's obvious that this concept of elevating the Torah and the mitzvahs occur when there is a passion, a revealed emotion in one's heart. Because then there is spirituality. There is fervor. There is energy that is infusing the physical deed. We see realistically that when a person has a feeling towards something, towards doing something, then he does it, the activity is done in another way. There is energy in it. You could see right away when a person is doing something because he has to do it, because he was told to do it, because he knows he can't get away without it, or because he desires to do it. It's done with another chayas, with another vitality, there's another energy. The same is true in speaking. Did you ever hear a speaker who's totally uninterested in what he has to say? You could see it. You could see it in the words. You could see it in the tone. You could see it in every fashion and manner, how he articulates it, how he talks. The very physical words are telling and relate the story if there is passion involved within them or not. So if someone has a revealed passion in his heart, we understand very well how the mitzvahs are elevated. Because it's not physical anymore. It's an expression of the soul. It's an expression of spirituality. The physical deed carries within it a soul. It's a container of a consciousness. So therefore it ascends. But when one does something because his mind is telling him to do it, when one does something and is involved in a certain activity, not because his passion is drawing him towards it, he's not running to do it because I love it. He's doing it, why? Because his mind tells him this is the appropriate thing to do. It's systematically, almost mathematically concluded that it's the proper thing and the appropriate thing to do, and therefore I'm going ahead to do it. Then we see that the deed apparently is still dry because a mind is detached. Intellectualism is ultimately, in the scheme of things, detached from man's behavior versus passion, as the Alter Rebbe will soon discuss. And therefore, apparently, it would seem that in this scenario, the intellectual inclination cannot provide the mitzvahs with wings through which they can soar upwards. Right? That's how it would seem. It's interesting. I think we spoke about this last time before the summer. The Alter Rebbe says, why does the Beinoni embrace Hashem? Because he knows it's appropriate for him to embrace Hashem, right? When you love someone, you don't embrace the person when you didn't see them for 2 years because it's appropriate to embrace them. You naturally run over and you embrace them. This conveys very much what is going on here. You know why he's embracing Hashem? Because it's the proper thing to do. You didn't see your child for 2 years. You go to greet them at the airport. And you see them coming. So you start meditating. Hey, since this is my child, so he's part of me. And I didn't see him for 2 years. So it's the appropriate thing. Is it right for me to hug him and kiss him or not right? Yeah, it's right. I don't feel. So go ahead and do it anyway. As upon him at this, yeah? That's what's happening. Yasalahen l'chapke b'chalev nefeshmait. It's the appropriate thing. So therefore, it's very noticeable in the activity. The activity ultimately remains detached from the spirituality because there was no passion. So the Alter Rebbe comes and is mechadish that the klal gadol in the avodah lebeinonim includes that the beinoni has to know that even when there's only a tfuna, that tfuna encloses itself within the maisa, within the dibur, within the machshava, within the thought and words, and within the deeds and words and thought of Torah, to provide them with meichin, with vitality, with energy, and with wings, so that they should be able to soar upwards. Which means that his mitzvahs, his physical or his physical activities in machshava, dibur, ma'aseh of Torah and mitzvahs are filled with godliness, are filled with transcendence, with spirituality. And Alter Rebbe explains the reason. Why is this? Because since this tvuna brought him to do it, therefore it encloses itself within the mitzvahs. Which means, in other words, it's not that this person had detached intellect. Sometimes you can understand something, it has no relevance to your life, although you understand it very clearly. We all know that. You can understand a lot of things that they're proper theoretically, but ultimately it has no bearing on your life. Why doesn't it have a bearing on your life? You didn't relate it to your identity. It wasn't mechay of you. It remains abstract in the world of the mind, and the world of the mind can become very detached and disconnected from man's behavioral patterns and habits and day-to-day activities. This person did not have that intellectual experience where he meditated, that kula kamei kalei chashiv, and essentially at the root of existence is at the root of one's soul there is an existential angst towards godliness. This was an awareness that he knows obligates him. He came to a stage where he relates it to his life, to his identity, where he knows that it's the proper thing for him to do to embrace the king. It's an awareness that made a change in his life. Pivil libo yishavin, he went and acted based upon that awareness. So ultimately the Alter Rebbe says it's part of him. It's part of his identity. And since it's part of his identity, that encloses itself within the physical acts of the mitzvahs and provides them with wings to soar upwards.